Good morning. Today I'll be reading Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought out my soul from Sheol. Restore me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, all you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Be your favor, O Lord. You had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Would the dust praise you? Would it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing, but you have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. Lord my God, I will thanks to you forever. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for the reading, Sandhya. Let us all pray together before we listen to God's word for us this morning. Holy God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the family of God. And thank you for us being able to be with each other in your presence this morning. May your spirit be powerfully present in our lives and in our church today. May you speak to each and every one of us, and may your spirit prepare our hearts and our lives to receive your message. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think it is possible to think our way out of the stress and anxiety and problems? Maybe you didn't know this, but as part of my college education, I did a master's degree in counseling psychology. And I have to say, when it comes to psychotherapy, I couldn't relate much to psychoanalysis, you know, Freud and all of that. But I did connect very well with rational emotive therapy, and more particularly with cognitive therapy as an approach to counseling people. Now, cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT for short, is a form of psychotherapy where patients are taught to approach their emotional problems using good critical thinking skills. And with this approach, people learn to identify self-destructive thought patterns, sometimes called cognitive distortions. And I thought it would be interesting to share some of them with you as an introduction to today's sermon. But what I want you to do is to see if you can recognize some of them in your own life and in the way you process information. Now, you don't have to put up your hand, okay? You don't have to put up your hand, but see if you can identify some of these in your own life. And the first one is mind reading. You assume that you know what people think without having sufficient evidence for their thoughts. Like, you know, he thinks I'm a loser, but you have no evidence that he does. There is fortune telling where you predict the future, but you do it negatively. Things will get worse and there's danger ahead. You think, I'll fail that exam, or I won't get the job, and you haven't even taken the exam yet, or you haven't even had the job interview. Catastrophizing. You believe that what has happened or what will happen will be so awful and so unbearable that you won't be able to stand it. It will be terrible, terrible, terrible if I failed. I'm never, ever going to get over this disappointment. Then there's labeling. You assign global negative traits to yourself and to others. You think, you know, I'm undesirable. Or, you know, he's really a rotten person. You've just met the guy. You don't even know him. Discounting positives. So you claim that the positive things that you are or others do are, you know, it's simply unimportant. That's what wives are supposed to do, so it doesn't count when she's actually nice to me. Or those successes, you know, they were so easy, so they don't really matter. There's negative filtering. You focus almost exclusively on the negatives and very seldom notice the positives. You know, look at all the people who don't like me. But what about those people who actually do like you? Overgeneralizing. You perceive a global pattern of negatives on the basis of a single incident. This generally happens to me. I seem to fail at a lot of things. Maybe I've only failed once or twice. Dichotomous thinking, or also called all or nothing thinking. You know, you view events or people in all or nothing terms. I get rejected by everyone. It was a complete waste of time. Really? Everyone? A complete waste of time? Blaming. So you focus on the other person as the source of your negative feelings, and you refuse to take responsibility for changing yourself. Well, she's to blame for the way I feel. My parents, you know, they caused all of my problems. What if? You keep asking a series of questions about what if something happens with any of the answers, and you're never satisfied with any of the answers. Yeah, but what if I get anxious, or what if I can't catch my breath? You'll be okay. You'll actually be okay. Yeah, but what if this happens? And there's also emotional reasoning. You know, you let your feelings guide your interpretation of reality. I feel depressed, therefore my marriage is not working out. And finally, you know, an inability to disconfirm. You reject any evidence, any arguments that might contradict your negative thoughts. For example, when you have the thought of I'm unlovable, you reject as irrelevant any evidence that people actually like you. And consequently, your thought just cannot be refuted. So the aim of CBT is to help people identify these common cognitive distortions in how they operate in life and replace them with clearer thinking. And as counselees learn to do that, they're often able to obsess less over problems and give themselves more credit for the positive things in their lives. And so they learn to determine whether these internal judgments are actually valid. And even though they might never be able to completely get rid of all of their negative thoughts, they're not so much a victim of them anymore. And so CBT is a helpful treatment for a range of emotional disorders like anxiety and obsessive compulsive compulsion, depression, perfectionistic tendencies, chronic fatigue, stuttering, and so forth. And you see, some of the most emotionally balanced people we know seem to have learned to examine their thoughts and to recognize, you know, cognitive distortions for what they are. They may call such thoughts simply illogical rather than distortions, but the point is, once the notions are seen as mental spins, the person is able to at least lower the volume of those internal troublemakers, if not turn them off altogether. Robert, I wouldn't mind if you changed seats. I don't want your neck to get stiff by the end of the message. Maybe I don't want my neck to get stiff because I have to look like sideways, but now, of course, our primary textbook for worship on Sunday and the weekly sermon is not a psychology handbook, but the Bible. And it's so interesting how in this psalm, Psalm 30, the writer is correcting his own cognitive distortions. So listen to what he says in verse 5. For God's anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. He says, weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. He says, God, you get angry once in a while, but across a lifetime, there is only love. The nights of crying my eyes out does give way to days of laughter. And the distortions are implied in the corrections. One distortion is God's anger is forever. The other is there's no end to weeping. And maybe that's the way you are thinking about God and about life. You think God is always angry at me. God is always angry at the world. Or life is, you know, it's really unfair. And there's only pain and there's only lament. But the psalmist recognizes that neither of those things is true. And he corrects or adjusts his thinking by remembering the positive reality that joy comes in the morning. And he uses critical thinking to put the troubles of life into perspective. Life is not just trouble all the time. And his thinking is based on God's nature and on God's track record. And so he says in verse 2, O Lord my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. When I cried to you for help, you did heal me. And healed refers to more than just physical recovery. It can also be a metaphor for God's help in thinking better. It says in verse 11, you have turned my sorrow into joyful dancing. Now, the 30th Psalm is not the only biblical text that points us in that direction. Romans 12 verse 2 tells us, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, let God change your mind. And did you hear that? It says clear thinking can actually help us discern God's will. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, the weapons we use in our fight are not the world's weapons, but God's powerful weapons, which we use to destroy strongholds. We destroy false arguments. We pull down every proud obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive. We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Now, Paul, no doubt, was speaking about spiritual warfare, but the strongholds he mentions sounds very much like thought traps. And taking every thought captive suggests confronting cognitive distortions. You know, many of us have had to deal with loss in our lives. And this idea of thinking our way out of mental traps really connects with the experience of grief. Because when we're grieving, we often feel like life is always going to be like this. Or I'm always going to feel this way. And it's so very hard to think that your life will be different when you're actually grieving loss. It's like slogging through the mire. Psalm 30 says, joy does come in the morning. But here's the thing. You can't get to the morning without going through the night. The joy does not come without a cost, but God is with us in the process, and He will help us heal. And that's, in any case, what our thought pattern should be. Michael W. Austin is a professor of philosophy at Eastern Kentucky University, and he says that when it comes to dealing with chronic depression, certain medications have been incredibly helpful. And he adds, however, that sound critical thinking is another source that can actually help us. He writes, my claim is not that unsound or illogical thinking is the cause of depression, or that the depressed person is blameworthy for how she thinks, but rather that the thinking that is characteristic of someone suffering from depression is sometimes illogical thinking. And such thinking can perpetuate depression. He says that by using the principles of CBT, we can learn to recognize these illogical patterns of thought. And once we do that, we can begin to change them. And he says, one of the thought distortions that often show up in our lives is should statements. You think, you know, I should exercise 3 times this week. Or I should never feel angry with my children. And he says that self-talk can actually have a demotivating effect. And we may actually hear them as, I should exercise 3 times this week, or I'm worthless and I'm undisciplined. Or I should never really get angry with my children, and if I do, I'm a bad parent. But these are clearly what? Cognitive distortions. And a more healthy way to think about them would be something like, yeah, it would be good to exercise 3 times this week. Or it would be nice for my kids if I were more patient with them. Martin Luther said this, and I love this quote, about temptation. He said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. I love that. How if we apply, you know, that statement to our unwanted feelings and our irrational thoughts? We can't necessarily control the onset of unwanted feelings. But what we see from the psalmist in our passage is that we may be able to control and lessen how long they affect us. Finally, I just want to point out something the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7 about an inner conflict that lives inside all of us. He says in verse 18, no matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I can will it, he says, but I can't do it. So please know that I don't want to minimize the struggles we have or say that you can simply think your way out of all that's going on in your life, okay? I'm not saying that you can simply do that without God's help. But we also notice that in the same verse, Paul plainly states a cognitive distortion of his own. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. Does that maybe sound like overgeneralizing? But he keeps thinking out loud, and eventually he rightly concludes, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to hear too this morning. As we struggle with our own illogical thinking that mires us in misery, what we need to know and what we need to remember is that in the end, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. So anchor your life in Christ. Because when you do it, it gives you that clear no condemnation foundation. Once there, however, clear thinking that challenges your illogical self-talk can help you to live a happier life while we wait for the coming again of our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you for your word. And I know, as I listed all those cognitive distortions, that many of us find that they operate in our own lives, in our own thinking, in our own way of perceiving people and interpreting the world around us and what's happening to us. And so thank you that your word also tells us about a renewal of the mind, that you want us to think clearly and understand when it is that we have these illogical and thoughts that are really hurting us more than they are helping. May your Spirit empower us and enable us to realize that in the end there is no condemnation for any of us who belong to you, but that you want to help us live happier lives, and one way is to utilize for us the minds that you've blessed us with, and to work on our own illogical thinking and our own distortions. May your Spirit help us to think clearer and as a result, be happier and more joyful in life. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.